5 out of 6. So.
Good morning.
Oh, that's why. Yeah. So there was, I was going to ask, there is something connected.
Welcome to the May 12, 2026 meeting of the Colorado River Basin Regional Water Quality Control Board. For everyone joining us in the meeting room, please turn off or silence your cell phones. This meeting will be webcast recorded, so please speak clearly. This meeting is being conducted in physical location and is also available via remote access. People who only want to listen or watch the meeting, the board customers webcast is available. For those on Zoom meeting, you will be muted with your camera off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera, if you have one. When you are done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You may remain in the Zoom meeting until the completion of your item and then choose to exit the meeting or continue. Okay, let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Board Member Beltran, would you lead us?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we have a roll call?
Chair Perez?
Present.
Vice Chair Gonzalez?
Good morning, present.
Board Member Beltran?
Present.
Board Member Music?
Present.
Board Member Satin is absent. Board Member Wright?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. For the purpose of this public meeting, for the regional board members to obtain testimony and the information from concerned and affected parties within the Colorado River Basin regarding water quality issues. We welcome hearing from the public at this meeting. Excuse me. Any person wishing to speak should have submitted a speaker request as described in the agenda instructions. For those items listed on today's agenda, you will make your comments at the time of the item is being considered. If you wish to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, you may speak now during the public forum. Comments will generally be limited to 3 minutes. The board clerk cannot identify the speakers who have submitted speaker cards for the public forum.
Yes, we do have a couple of speakers.
We do? Mm-hmm. Can you identify the speakers, please? Go ahead.
Just to clarify the public, I think, I'm not sure if I heard it correctly, the public forum is for things that are not on the agenda. So if you have an agenda item that you want to talk to us about, wait for that. But if for any other business at all that your heart desires, now is the time.
Okay. The first person we have is Linda Salas.
Thank you. I'm Linda Salas, and I'm a Palm Desert resident, and for over 20 years, I've been very much concerned about the drying up of the Salton Sea and how it's affecting our breathing and our water quality. And I have a question for Region 7 Water District. What is your position or what is your responsibility in relation to the Salton Sea funding? I had some notices passed out showing you what I noted or discovered has been allocated toward the funding for Salton Sea and relational areas of the Salton Sea. And the one I'm most concerned about is under Budget Act 2025, over $3 to $6 billion has been allocated for safe drinking and water quality and water recycling. That area is of most concern to me in particular, but to the Salton Sea Coalition. They're asking me to ask you if you are involved in the funding of Salton Sea, and are you receiving any of these funds that are being allocated? We want to know what the money was allocated to the restoration of the sea specifically, and what was actually spent, and where the money has gone, and what changes have been achieved. So I don't know that we can get that from you today, but that's our question, and we'd like to hear from you about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Turn on your mic. I'd like to make a comment. Well, I'd just like to announce that on May 20th, the State Water Resources Control Board is having a workshop on the 10-year plan for the Salton Sea. This year they're having it in Sacramento, but it is a Zoom meeting or a webinar that you can watch. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And what date?
May 20th.
May 20th. Thank you.
You can look at the State Water Resources Control Board website. You'll probably find it.
Yeah. Oh, and please provide us your contact info so we can get in touch after the meeting.
Madam Chair, I can also speak to that somewhat. In our June 9th meeting, the board will be hearing an item on the approved guidelines for application to the Prop 4 funding for transboundary rivers. That earmarks approximately $46 million for projects affecting both the New River and the Tijuana River. So I invite any interested members of the public to listen in on that workshop. That's one release of funding to the for the purposes of addressing pollution at the Salton Sea. In addition to that, we are in the process. We're embarking on the process of developing guidelines for application for the stormwater portion of the Prop 4 funding. This is a multi-year grant, and entities interested in it are certainly invited to continue to do research and develop projects that are applicable for that funding, and continue to monitor the Department of Finance at State Water Board for information on applying for those grants. The additional funding here that you mentioned, we can get back to that. We can certainly put together a small briefing for the board here to coincide with additional the information we'll be providing in June 4th to address many of these line items here, and please circle back with us, and we'll respond. Thank you, Ms. Elise.
Thank you.
Yeah, Michael, could somebody maybe send her a link to that workshop for the Salton Sea on May 20th?
And we got her contact info, and we'll make sure she's plugged in and certain things like that. I think the short answer, though, is that the State Water Board controls the actual funding. They do a lot of grant. They do all the grants. We are kind of a sub-agency of the State Board. We're separate, but also part of the same general tree of agencies, and so we don't actually direct any funding ourselves. What we manage is basically, in other words, regional water quality control within this region, but a lot of the funding comes from the State Board. But we'll be reaching out with further information.
Okay, the next speaker we have is via Zoom, Felicitas Nunez.
Yes, my name is, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yes, my name is Felicitas Nunez. I'm a retired registered nurse from the Department of Corrections. And I am together with Ms. Linda Salazar, and I'm glad to hear that there's going to be meetings by the Water Board to address or connect somehow to clean the pollution in our area. And I just a paper that was passed out to you is solutions that we think would be viable for you to look into bringing awareness to the State Water Resource Control Board on May 19th and 20th. We hope to be there, but that's in Sacramento, and it's very hard for us to get there. Also contact the Border Water Infrastructure Program to see if they can help, and then see what monies can be obtained from the Clean Water State. And it's not revolutionary, it's revolving fund. I don't know what got into me, but it's a revolving fund from the Clean Water State. And also ask for assistance from the State Water Resource Quality Board. And I guess you already know that our water is being limited. Not only is it being limited, but we have the industry of lithium and data centers coming into play, and the water will be much more limited, and the price of electricity and water will be going up. So we have to address the pollution plus the need to bring more water into our area. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Can I have a phone?
Do we have any additional speakers?
No, we do not.
Thank you. We now move to agenda item 3, which is the review and approval of the minutes for the board's prior meeting on April 14th. The minutes also include... The minutes also include a note regarding the board's tour of the PG&E TOPOC facility on April 15th. Due to a lack of quorum on the tour, a meeting did not take place on the 15th, which was why we have separate minutes. Why we do not have separate minutes, that we're not prepared for that day. Does any board member have comments or wish to propose changes to the minutes?
Yeah, Madam Chair, the first paragraph states that I was at the tour and I wasn't, as the second paragraph stated.
So you can delete my name. You can delete my name as an attendee, and I'll approve with that appropriate change.
Okay. Hold on one second.
Maybe you were there in spirit.
That is correct. Sorry for the oversight.
That's okay. So I move to approve with that change.
With the change striking out as Ed Music from the first paragraph on page 6.
Correct.
Any additional comments, or do we have a second to motion?
I made a motion. Second.
Okay. Can we have roll call, please?
Chair Perez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Beltran?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. For agenda item 4, the board will now hear an update from Laurel Firestone, our liaison to the State Water Resource Control Board.
Hi, can you all hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Great. Thank you for having me. And it sounds like there's a lot of interest based on the public comments on a lot of the state board's work. So hopefully those folks are still here. I'll go through my state liaison report and kind of highlight a few things also that I think were brought up in public comment of particular interest to this region. So the first thing is just a reminder that we have the annual Water Quality Coordinating Committee, WQCC, meeting this Thursday and Friday. And that is a publicly noticed meeting, so members of the public can also participate or watch the live stream. But it's every regional water board as well as state water board. And it's a great time if you can come in person to just connect with other regional water board members, but there's also remote participation. So I really encourage everyone to participate in that. It's really a great opportunity to learn and connect with other regions and also hear about some of these issues going, like funding is one of the topics that's going to be discussed. And again, if the members of the public want to listen in, I believe the funding, you can look up the agenda on our State Water Board website, but off the top of my head, the funding item is going to be in the morning on Friday. The other thing, okay, going through the other item I wanted to mention is we're continuing to make a lot of progress and actions around the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, or SGMA. So we returned the Delta Mendota groundwater subbasin to DWR jurisdiction. We created an approved an exclusion for groundwater pumpers that have a minimal impact on groundwater extractions for the two subbasins that are in probation. So that's an exclusion from reporting and fee requirements. And then we declined to provide exclusions for a number of subbasins or GSAs within the subbasin of the Tule subbasin, which is on probation currently. We also submitted issued a draft decision and draft permit for the site's reservoir project. And we're accepting written comments on the draft decision and draft permit by the end of the day on May 22nd. We are continuing to move forward with supporting the agricultural expert panel. This is a panel I've mentioned before. It's really focused on groundwater contamination with nitrate and whether there's particular metrics that are appropriate for helping us as a regulatory agency understand potential leaching of nitrates into groundwater. There's a number of specific questions. There's a draft report recommendations that is out. The comment period's expired, but there will be a public working group session on May 18th and May 27th. And then the plan is for that final report to be presented to the State Water Board at the second June meeting. So that'll be June 16th or 17th. And that will be a chance to talk through the recommendations and think through what next steps might be. But I want to highlight that because I know this region has been working on its irrigated lands regulatory program permits, and there are some recommendations in here that may impact how our precedential order, how we may want to tweak our precedential order to address some of those recommendations. But stay tuned. There will be more information on that as we move forward. And again, there'll be an info session or a workshop on that in mid-June once that's final. We have a number of public workshops coming up. So I'll highlight Mono Lake Public Workshops, which is after the Salton Sea one, but I want to spend more time on that one. Mono Lake, we have workshops to collect information around potential management options. We have an order on that, and we're having workshops on June 1st and June 4th to discuss that and encourage folks that are interested to look at our website and get more information. Again, for this region, the big thing is the Salton Sea Management Program. As was already stated, we are holding our annual workshop. We do an annual workshop on the progress made on the Salton Sea Management Program that CNRA leads as part of an order that we issued. And so, and we continue to oversee. That workshop is May 20th. It is up this time in Sacramento. Usually we try and do it down in the region. But there are, there is a hybrid option for people to participate. There also will be Spanish translation provided. And As you all probably know, the Salt and Sea Management Program issued their annual report on March 31st and has been holding workshops in the region to go over that report. But I do really encourage anyone that's interested. It's going to start at 9 a.m. on May 20th. There's a hybrid option. We really encourage people to participate, even if you can't, you know, make it all the way up to Sacramento. I think we really try and make that accessible for particularly both in Spanish and English. And we'll be discussing the progress there and also some lessons learned and a little bit of a look ahead, but really encourage folks to participate in that. Let's see, other things that came up, the Clean Water State Revolving Fund. So the line item that folks mentioned, as was already explained, really is issued by us, the State Water Board, and we have a Division of Financial Assistance that administers all of our grant and loan programs. That includes the Clean Water SRF program. For that one, we are conducting a workshop May 19th, next Tuesday, to go over our annual intended use plan. So we provide annually a process where we publish how we spent the money, but also how we're intending to use the money over the next fiscal year, how much we have. We do that annually. There's a public process. So we have the workshop now. The draft has been released and comments are due by May 27th. And then we're hoping to adopt that for July 7th. And I'll just note that is for the Clean Water SRF, which is really mostly used for wastewater. There's a number of eligibilities, including stormwater and other clean water uses, but predominantly it's used for wastewater system infrastructure needs. There's a big loan component, but there also is some grant component. We are in the middle of a wastewater needs assessment, and there's an advisory group we had an advisory group meeting to discuss kind of both mapping for unsewered areas that aren't connected to sewers, but also for the process we're doing, identifying both inadequate and at-risk wastewater facilities. And we'll be moving forward on finalizing that list and then estimating solutions and costs to come up with a wastewater needs assessment for the whole state. And that's in recognition that we don't have as much funding and information on wastewater as we do for drinking water. For drinking water, we have the state, we do have a Safe Drinking Water SRF, State Revolving Fund, and that also has an annual process that will start soon on our intended use plan. But we also have a SAFER program, and there's an advisory group for that, which is really focused on communities that are failing or at risk to access safe drinking water. And there is a separate funding source that's more flexible specifically for that. So we're hoping that we can be making progress on access to the human right to, we already are making huge progress in access to the human right to water, but also looking to make more progress on sanitation issues. And then I will say, as was mentioned, we have adopted guidelines for the Prop 4 transborder water quality funding that is in process now or open now for solicitations. It sounds like you'll have a workshop here on that. It's a competitive process. It's for both, for the full border, so including the New River as well as Tijuana. There is a limited amount of funding on that. As was also mentioned, we will be developing guidelines for stormwater funding that we have from Prop 4. But I will say for salt and sea specific, those are all related to sort of source protection for discharges that may ultimately flow into the salt and sea. But for salt and sea specific projects, that is really mostly funding secured specifically by CNRA and the Salt and Sea Management Plan, which will be presenting its annual progress on May 20th, or there's federal funding and local funding. And the last thing I wanted to mention is I will be coming down for the first Salt and Sea Conservancy meeting. I believe somebody, I don't know if Michael, if you are the executive director are participating, but I believe there's somebody from the regional board as well on that. But there's a really broad group of representations. This will be the first meeting to kind of get things set up. And that's going to be on Thursday this week. And really the goal there is to have more tools in the toolbox to bring money in for salt and sea and steward salt and sea conservancies, allow more tools in the toolbox for being able to bring funding and projects. And so look forward to that. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much. No questions.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. The board will now consider items on the uncontested calendar. All items appearing under the uncontested items calendar are acted upon by one motion without discussion. There are two items on today's uncontested calendar, agenda items 5 and 6. Item 5 is a waste discharge requirements order. The corresponding monitoring and reporting program for Imperial County Public Works Forester Road Bridge Replacement Project located in Imperial County. Item number 6 is a waste discharge requirements order. The corresponding monitoring and reporting program for the Magma Power Company and Desert Valley Company, Desert Valley Monofill Solid Waste Management Facility located in Imperial County. Regarding the uncontested calendar, does any board member wish to remove this item from the uncontested calendar? If any members of the public wish to remove an item from the uncontested calendar, you need to fill out a speaker card. Madam Clerk, are there any speaker cards?
There is not, Madam Chair, but we do have the dischargers available for questions.
Okay. Any board members? No? Okay. No questions? Okay. Can I get a motion on the uncontested items listed?
Also move to adopt items number 5 and number 6.
May I have a second?
I'll second.
Madam Clerk, may we have roll call?
Chair Perez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Beltran?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Proceeding now to the contested and discussion of calendar of items for adoption. There are three items on the contested calendar today, agenda items 7 through 9. Okay. Item 7, waste discharge requirements, order and monitoring and reporting programs for the SBD RTE RSP replacement for 8 bridges projects in San Bernardino County. I am now opening the hearing to agenda item 6, which is a waste discharge requirement order and the corresponding monitoring and reporting programs for the California Department of Transportation, Caltrans Route 40 RSP, 8 bridges replacement projects located in San Bernardino County. After the comment period, the tentative order was revised based on Caltrans input. The revised version was posted online and included part of the board members' agenda materials. Staff prepared a response to the comments, which has also been included in the agenda materials. All these documents are posted online and placed on a table in the back of the boardroom. Madam Clerk, do we have any speaker cards on this agenda item?
We do not.
Okay. Let me see here. May I have a motion on agenda item 7, which is the waste discharge requirement order and monitoring and reporting?
There is a presentation.
There is a presentation. Okay. Alrighty, Madam. Okay, I will now administer the oath. All persons, including intending to speak on the item, raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, under penalty perjury? If so, answer, I do. Okay. Please state your name, affiliation, whether you have taken the oath when you come to speak. Order of speakers for the items, a presentation, Logan, Rob, board staff.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Perez, members of the board, and members of the public. My name is Logan Robb. I'm a senior environmental scientist and the Regional Water Board's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, or MPDES, unit supervisor. I have taken the oath. Today, I'm providing information about the proposed tentative order for the California Department of Transportation, or Caltrans, San Bernardino, Route 40, Rock Slope Protection Replacement for 8 Bridges Project, a roadway maintenance project. Next slide. The proposed order prescribes waste discharge requirements, or WDRs, which authorize discharges of fill materials to waters of the state that will result from project activities. The order includes conditions that the discharger will comply with to avoid, minimize, and lastly compensate for adverse impacts to the waters of the state as a result of the project. Next slide. The purpose of the project is to preserve the structural integrity of 8 bridges on Interstate 40 by enhancing existing rock slope protection and replacing 2 bridges to meet current design standards. Next slide. The project occurs at 4 stream crossings in San Bernardino County: Woods Wash, shown here as the yellow pin; Artist Ditch, shown as the red pin; Tank Tower Ditch, shown as the green pin; and Homer Wash, shown here as the blue pin. All project sites are located west of the city of Needles. Next slide. The figure on this slide shows the paths water takes from the project sites. Woods Wash, shown here on the left, drains in a southerly direction into Watson Wash and continues to flow 35 miles south before terminating on land just north of the Cadiz Dry Lake. Artist Ditch and Tank Tower Ditch, shown here on the right, also drain in a southerly direction before connecting with Homer Wash. Homer Wash continues flowing south into Danby Dry Lake. Next slide. Project activities at Artist Ditch, Tank Tower Ditch, and Homer Wash include removal of existing ungrouted rock slope protection and installation of partially grouted rock slope protection along the channel banks and at the foot of bridge piers and or across the entire channel width beneath the bridge to meet current rock slope protection design standards. The picture on this slide is of the Woods Wash project area, where project activities include removal and replacement of the existing eastbound and westbound bridges, along with replacement of existing ungrouted rock slope protection with partially grouted rock slope protection to meet current design standards. Grouted rock slope protection has been a matter of discussion with the State Board, neighboring regional boards, and with Caltrans. Regional Board staff met with Caltrans and the others in early February to discuss the application of grouting and our preference for ungrouted rock slope protection. However, staff recognize that there are times where grouting may be necessary. In these situations, staff are requesting an alternatives analysis that includes an analysis of ungrouted versus grouted rock soil protection, additional compensatory mitigation, up to 5 years post-construction monitoring, and post-construction documentation of the grouted rock soil protection installation before issuing a final notice of project complete letter. Next slide. The project will permanently impact 2.63 acres and temporarily impact 2.23 acres of jurisdictional waters of the state. The image on this slide is a picture of Tank Tower Ditch. Next slide. Caltrans will implement avoidance minimization and mitigation measures identified in the project's natural environment study and mitigated negative declaration to minimize impacts to sensitive endangered species and their habitat and tribal resource. Caltrans will also develop a stormwater pollution and prevention plan and utilize site preparation techniques to minimize ground disturbance and impacts to native vegetation in temporarily impacted areas and to limit discharges of pollutants from construction activities. At the end of the project, Caltrans will restore temporarily impacted areas through recontouring areas to pre-project grades, revegetation, and replanting. Next slide. The Water Board's procedures for authorizing discharges of dredged or filled materials to waters of the state establishes standards and criteria for the use of compensatory mitigation to offset unavoidable permanent impacts to waters of the state. Types of mitigation include on- and off-site permittee-responsible mitigation, in-lieu fee mitigation, and mitigation banks. Compensatory methods can include restoration, also known as reestablishment and/or rehabilitation, establishment, enhancement, and preservation of aquatic resources. All methods are acceptable forms of compensatory mitigation, although restoration is generally the preferred method. Caltrans plans to purchase 8.84 acres of stream mitigation credits from the West Harbor Conservation Bank to compensate for the 2.63 acres of unavoidable permanent impacts to waters of the state caused by the project. The picture on this slide shows the Conservation Bank's service area for stream credits. That is within the Mojave River Hydrologic Unit, which is adjacent to the Water Board Hydrologic Units where the project will take place. Project areas are on the eastern edge of the service area. The mitigation ratio is greater than 3-1. This ratio is higher than the procedure's default 1-1 ratio and higher than our default 2-1 ratio due to the quantity and nature of the impacts. Next slide. This tentative order was available for the public to review and comment on for 30 days from March 17th through April 16th. No comments were received. However, Caltrans reached out to Water Board staff requesting modifications to their restoration and compensatory mitigation plans, which staff agreed to, and that resulted in minor substantive changes to the proposed tentative order. The changes are reflected in the revised tentative order dated April 16th that was included in your board packet. Next slide. At this time, Regional Water Board staff recommend that the board adopt the tentative order as revised on April 16th, 2026. Thank you for considering this tentative order, and I look forward to answering any questions you may have.
Good morning. Flow hydrology to the two dry lakes, do we have any idea what the average annual flow is to those bodies?
I don't have that answer on hand, but I can check on it for you.
Okay. And this is a contested item. Was that because the requested some modifications to...
No, I think we had kind of addressed, any of the issues that were raised. I think this was more about items for discussion.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to bring it to the board. Board member Wright wanted to bring it to the board for a discussion to be heard and also to emphasize that past comments on the compensatory mitigation ratios are being addressed.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Nice presentation.
Thank you.
Motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Do we have any comments from the public?
We do not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we now close item number 7. May I have a who seconded? I'm so sorry.
Peter seconded.
Okay, good. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, can we have roll call?
Chair Perez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Beltran?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item 8, waste discharge requirements, order and monitoring and reporting program for a High Desert Medical Center wastewater treatment facility in San Bernardino County. I am now opening the hearing on agenda item number 8, which is a waste discharge requirements, order monitoring and reporting program for the High Desert Memorial Healthcare District and Joshua Basin Water District, which are the permittees for the High Desert Medical Center's wastewater treatment facilities in San Bernardino County. The tentative order was revised following the comment period. The revised version and response to comments were posted online and included in the board members' agenda materials. Physical copies have been placed on the back on the table in the back of the boardroom. Madam Clerk, do we have any speaker?
We do not.
We do not. Okay. Okay. I now administer the oath to all persons intending to speak on this item. Please raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear to affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury? If so, say I do.
I do.
Okay. Please state your name, affiliation, and whether you have... Oh, you took the oath. Thank you.
Engineer, thank you, and staff for the land disposal units. I have taken the oath. My presentation this morning is regarding a tentative order updating of the existing waste discharge requirements for the High Desert Medical Center wastewater treatment facility located in Joshua Tree in San Bernardino County. Next slide, please. In this presentation, I will provide background information regarding the existing discharge regulated by the current order, followed by a brief description of the treatment processes. I will also present key issues, proposed updates in the tentative order, effluent limitations, and comments received by the dischargers. I will wrap up by summarizing and providing staff's recommendation. Next slide, please. The High Desert Memorial Healthcare District owns and operates the High Desert Medical Center. However, the Joshua Basin Water District is the owner and operator of the wastewater treatment facility serving the medical center. Although the water district is responsible for the day-to-day compliance with this order, both districts are being named as dischargers. The facility serves the medical center in the community of Joshua Tree. The medical center consists of a main hospital, an education center, and a continuing care center. The facility treats all of the medical center's domestic wastewater and is currently regulated under a 2012 order. The map on this slide shows the location of the designated disposal area and the facility, which will be further discussed in the next slide. The facility, which has a design capacity of 52,000 gallons per day, has been in operation since November 2013. The treatment process starts on the left with effluent wastewater flowing via gravity into the equalization tank after passing through a manual bar screen. The facility employs an upflow sludge blanket filtration, also referred to as a USBF treatment process, manufactured by EcoFluid Systems. The process is a modification of an extended aeration process that incorporates an anoxic selector zone and a USBF clarifier in one integrated vessel. The treated effluent is sampled and metered as it transfers from the treatment process to 16 seepage pits for disposal, which I will be referring to as the designated disposal area. Next slide, please. The Regional Water Board staff noted the following key issues pertaining to the facility and the current waste discharge requirements. To date, the Regional Water Board has not required the discharger to perform groundwater monitoring. For this reason, additional on-site investigation is necessary to obtain current depth to groundwater, current salinity, specifically total dissolved solids of underlying groundwater, and concentrations of total nitrogen, nitrate, and nitrite upgradient and downgradient of the designated disposal area. In response to these key issues, the tentative order incorporates updates and special provisions discussed in the next slide. Next slide, please. The tentative order includes five key updates to the findings. Effluent limits and monitoring and reporting program, which include a detailed facility description, including processes and operations, as well as influent and effluent characterization. Reducing the TDS effluent limit from a 530 milligram per liter to a 500 milligram per liter rolling 12-month average. Converting effluent limits for biochemical oxygen demand, total suspended solids, and total nitrogen from daily, weekly, and monthly to a rolling 12-month average without changes to the numerical limits. Requiring a work plan for establishment of a groundwater monitoring network. And lastly, reducing the monitoring and reporting frequency for the influent, effluent, and source water. Next slide, please. The discharger will continue to be required to comply with the following effluent limits for the wastewater treatment system. The 30-day average flow from the wastewater facility to the designated disposal area is not to exceed 52,000 gallons per day. Effluent is also required to comply with a pH limit of 6.0 to 9.0 standard units. Proposed updates described in the previous slide are also shown here. The facility has a 12-month rolling average limit of 30 milligrams per liter for both BOD and TSS. The 12-month rolling average for nitrogen as total nitrogen is 10 milligrams per liter. And the facility has a 12-month rolling average limit of 500 milligrams per liter of TDS. Next slide, please. The tentative order was noticed for the required 30-day public comment period, with comments due by April 20, 2026. The discharger requested a 7-day extension to submit comments. Comments were received from the dischargers. The discharger's comments and our responses to those comments are summarized for consideration by the board in the board meeting binders. Next slide, please. The Joshua Basin Water District submitted a comment regarding the special provision requiring a groundwater monitoring network plan. Revise the tentative order to allow the use of existing district production wells as an initial compliance monitoring in lieu of immediate preparation of a groundwater monitoring network plan and installation of new monitoring wells. Our response is the following. Currently, little is known about the shallow aquifer underlying the facility. Groundwater monitoring is necessary to better understand the facility's discharges on local groundwater. It is the best practice to require monitoring of first encountered groundwater, both upgradient and downgradient of the disposal area, to better understand how the facility's discharges are influencing local groundwater. The production wells referenced by the discharger are situated over a mile from the facility. Additionally, supply wells are constructed to access deeper groundwater that will remain free of degradation or changes in water quality, which means that they will not reflect any degradation in local groundwater due to the facility's discharge. Monitoring wells should be constructed at or near the elevation of first encountered groundwater that would be affected by such discharges. Therefore, such wells are not suitable for use in monitoring for degradation from surface discharges. Next slide, please. In summary, staff recommends adoption of the tentative order for the High Desert Medical Center Wastewater Treatment Facility. Next slide, please. That concludes this presentation. I'm available for any questions or comments.
Hi, yes, one question. What's the best practice for, I guess, distance from the discharge point to put the monitoring wells that we were suggesting?
That is a good question. Typically, they're near the immediate vicinity of the designated disposal area.
So I guess what would be your furthest, just out of curiosity, what would be the furthest threshold that you would contemplate, like a half mile, like 200 feet? What are we talking here? Like, is 1 mile just like beyond the realm of comprehension? That's like way too far away? Or I'm trying to get a sense about like how close we would really want to be putting these all the time.
I think I can also add, you know, it would depend on a technical demonstration by the discharger showing that, you know, essentially it would be within the realm of influence of the discharges. In these responses, we basically said, you know, a mile.
Yeah, right.
A mile or a mile and a quarter is too far. But, you know, the water code does require us to give them latitude to you know, kind of choose where they think it would be appropriate. But they do need to say that it would be reflective of groundwater impacts. That's the underlying principle there. For a waste management unit, for, you know, like a landfill, you would need to put the monitoring well right at the down gradient limit of that unit. But when it's uncontained discharges to land, like, you know, as is the case here, it need not be, you know, right at the limit.
Okay, thank you.
I was wondering, how close is the nearest production well to this facility?
Mm-hmm. Then production wells are about, if I remember correctly, 1.3 to 1.6 miles from the facility.
And how about their recharge facility?
I do not have that information at hand.
Oh, okay. And it says that the Colorado River Aqueduct is 14 miles away. Mm-hmm. Do you know where that is?
Near the facility?
Yeah, I'm just not aware of the aqueduct being that close to this facility for Colorado River water.
Well, I do not have any maps ready for you.
That information would have been derived from their report of waste discharge, would it not?
Yes.
So we basically use that information provided by the discharger to generate
maybe
that finding.
The discharger is it able to answer that question?
If they're still on the line, Madam Clerk, are they present?
They are
on the
not
meeting?
Present.
This is Colorado River. I'm not aware of anything that close. Okay. Pardon? No, I'm just going by the report. It says Colorado River Aqueduct, 14 miles away.
So are you requesting a map?
Pardon?
Are you requesting a map?
I think he's just acknowledging there might be an error in
yeah,
a data
just,
point.
I don't believe it's that close.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's 144 miles or...
That would make more sense.
Okay.
We can look into that and put a note in the file to re-review it next time this permit comes up for adoption.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody.
There's a hand in the back.
In the back. Yes. You can come forward.
That's Mike Metz.
Did you take the oath?
Yes.
Please state your name.
Mike Metz.
Okay. Go ahead. Proceed.
Don't forget to turn on the button if you see
it's on.
Awesome.
I think it's on.
Thank you.
Just wanted to let you know that the general manager from Joshua Basin is here, and I am the engineer of record for the treatment facility. To answer your question, it's nowhere near us. So this facility is extremely small and right next to the hospital. It only takes from the hospital, and those facilities that you're talking about are quite a distance away. Just want to put that out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We can strike that finding if you'd like to. So just give me a minute to locate that. Give me a minute to locate that finding.
I think that's a good idea.
Or at least updated correctly.
Can you speak into the mic? Okay, I think we're good. Just give us a second, and I'm going to locate the finding so that the board members can entertain a...
Okay. Did you have an additional comment?
Yes. Just want to correct one thing. The district does not own the facility. The hospital owns the facility. The district operates and maintains the facility through a contract with the hospital. It's been that way since the very beginning of the project. So, thank you.
Oh, so the district is not the owner.
They're just the operator.
We're
just the operator, and the actual owner is the hospital itself or the hospital district.
So, just to clarify, the actual equipment at the for the treatment facility is also owned by the healthcare.
Correct. District. It's just through this contract. It's owned and operated. I mean, not owned, but operated and maintained by the water district.
Okay, give us just a minute to.
So under that, wouldn't the hospital be the discharger and not the operator?
Well, the water district does operate the facility. It does not own the facility, but typically our practice is to name both the owner and the operator as co-permittees under the order. It's fairly routine. We understand that usually the operator is responsible for day-to-day operations, and we typically look to the operator first for compliance issues. But we name them both just so that everybody's covered.
Also, there may, board members, there also may have been some ambiguity in the presentation. Finding 8 under treatment system on page 2 states that the High Desert Memorial Healthcare District owns and operates the High Desert Medical Center. And the footnote on page 1 discusses the arrangement they have for operation of that facility.
Thank you.
I'm just putting together a list of edits for the board members to consider for this really quick. If you'll just give me a minute, and we'll also make sure that the findings are consistent with the testimony we just received.
Thank you.
Set up all those little package treatment plants. The operator wasn't the discharger.
All right, members of the board, I have suggested revisions, which you may want to consider. So the first, in response to the testimony you've just heard, would be in regards to footnote 1 on page 1 of the order. Footnote 1 pertains to finding paragraph 1, or paragraph 1 of the findings. And within that paragraph footnote, midway through on the far left side, it says the districts have designated JBWD as the facility's owner slash operator. We would strike out owner from owner slash operator. That's the only change necessary in that paragraph. The next change and the final change will be to finding 23 on page 6. The language that would be stricken would be on the fourth line. It would be the Colorado River Aqueduct, open parentheses, approximately 14.4 miles, close parentheses, comma. So the revised text would be, the next closest bodies of water are Coyote Lake, approximately 3.2 miles, and Mission Creek, approximately 21.8 miles, located to the west of the project site. Those are the only revisions that I have identified as necessary based on the testimony that we have heard.
Motion to adopt the tentative order as amended.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Madam Chair, we have roll call.
Chair Perez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Beltran?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item number 9, resolution amending the water quality control plan for the Colorado River Basin. I am now opening the hearing on agenda item 9, which is a resolution amending the water quality control plan for the Colorado River Basin region to establish total maximum daily loads and an implementation plan for chloride and indicator bacteria and the Alamo River. This is a non-adjudicative hearing, which means that the speakers will not be required to take the oath in order to address the board with comments. Their hearing will begin with the presentation from Ryan Colhane, board staff. Next, we will receive comments from the public who have submitted speaker cards. And after that, the board members will comment and discussions. Lastly, the hearing will be closed.
Sorry, if you just give us a minute. Sorry, we're having technical differences.
The force is strong with this one.
Sorry, we have no connection right now, so we're working on that.
Madam Chair, we should probably take a short break, if you please.
We will take a short break. Thank you for your patience. Mr. Colhane?
If he comes up and goes out again.
Please proceed. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning, Chair Perez, members of the board, members of the public. My name is Ryan Colhane. I'm an environmental scientist here at the Colorado River Basin Regional Water Board. Today, I'll be presenting a proposed basin plan amendment to the water quality control plan for the Colorado River Basin to establish total maximum daily loads, aka TMDLs, and implementation plans for chloride indicator bacteria in the Alamo River and in Imperial County. Two workshops are performed this TMDL last year, one on June 3rd, second on November 4th, in the Imperial Valley by comment or request, making this the third time. This is the agenda for the TMDL amendment today. I'll start the presentation with a brief description of the background. Then I'll go over the project overview, project objectives, which will cover the water quality objectives and allocation loadings. This will be followed by a discussion on the interested parties' involvement, how the scientific peer review process was completed, and implementation of the TMDLs. We will address the comments that were received during the public comment period. Finally, presents the recommendation for board action. I'm just going to project a little bit since we're struggling here. Bigger than the average bear. Total maximum daily loads, or TMDLs, are a requirement of the Federal Clean Water Act. The Port of Cologne Water Quality Control Act requires the water boards to implement the Clean Water Act in California. TMDLs are put in place to improve surface water quality by assigning allocations on the amount of the pollutant that can be discharged to a water body. Implementing TMDLs ensures that beneficial uses are protected and water quality standards are met. A basin plan amendment is required to change any part of the basin plan. Establishing a TMDL also must go through the amendment process to be incorporated in the basin plan. This hearing is the first step in the basin plan amendment approval process. Amendments must be approved by the Regional Water Board, the State Water Board, the Office of Administrative Law, and when necessary, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. A TMDL is the calculation of the maximum amount of a pollutant allowed to enter a water body so that the water body will meet water quality standards for that particular pollutant. This slide listed, apologize. This slide lists the elements that must be included in a TMDL. I will briefly describe each of these elements. A completed TMDL must include a problem statement that describes which water quality standards are not being attained, which beneficial uses are impaired, and the nature of the impairment. Numeric targets are limits set to ensure recovery of the beneficial uses that are impaired and attainment of standards. Source analysis, which identifies the amount, timing, and point of origin of pollutants of concern. Linkage analysis determines how the numeric targets and actions can be taken to help achieve water quality standards. Allocations distribute responsibility and identifies the parties to take specific actions. Point sources are assigned waste load allocations, and non-point sources are assigned load allocations. Included in allocation calculations is a margin of safety, which may be implicit by using conservative assumptions or explicit through a discrete allocation assigned specifically as the margin of safety. An implementation plan that describes what actions will be taken to reduce the impairments. The final step is monitoring or reevaluation plan that describes the monitoring strategy that will be used and any requirements for reevaluation. The next slide will explain the TMDLs in this project. The Alamo River is in Imperial County, runs from the international border with Mexico north to the Salton Sea. Land use in the area is predominantly agriculture, the few urban areas such as El Centro and Brawley. The project objective is to improve the water quality of the Alamo River by implementing this TMDL and restoring beneficial uses. The Alamo River, like all regional waters, is routinely assessed for water quality and has been enlisted as impaired or not meeting the water quality objectives for several impairments. This project will focus on chloride and indicator bacteria. Monitoring has shown the concentrations for each pollutant in water samples were in violation of water quality objectives. Like any standard basin plan amendment for a TMDL, this amendment would also include the elements discussed previously to improve water quality to meet water quality objectives and protect beneficial uses. Chloride will be assessed as an individual impairment, but indicator bacteria water quality objectives will be given separately for Enterococcus and E. coli, with Enterococcus being the primary indicator according to the conditions laid out in the basin plan. Narrative water quality objectives listed in the basin plan are applicable to all waters within the region. Narrative objectives include water qualities that should be met and can be paired with numeric objectives. These TMDLs, two objectives are pertinent: chemical constituents and toxicity. Because chloride concentrations could become toxic to aquatic life, we have left the toxicity narrative objective. However, there will not be a numeric objective specifically associated with that narrative objective. Essentially, both state that chemical or toxic substances should not be in such concentrations that they cause adverse effects on the beneficial uses. Numeric objectives have been previously established for chloride and indicator bacteria. The water quality objectives selected for the Alamo River are determined by beneficial uses. Beneficial uses are designated according to typical use of a water body and can include activities that are not recommended but still occur. All existing and potential uses must be designated. The beneficial uses with the most protective water quality objectives are those that protect human health and aquatic life, since there is a possibility for ingestion. The Alamo River is designated for both contact and non-contact water recreation, as well as warm aquatic habitat, wildlife habitat, and use for rare, endangered, or threatened species. Other beneficial uses are designated, but not as protective of water quality as those listed above. Full definitions for each of the beneficial uses seen on the slide are included in the basin plan and the final staff report. For these TMDLs, allocations for chloride and indicator bacteria are based on source analysis, numeric targets, and statistical analysis. Loads are allocated among various sources of pollutants and characterized as either non-point sources or point sources. Non-point source pollution occurs when runoff carries pollutants from the land, roads, and buildings into drainage ditches, lakes, rivers, and other water sources, and the discharger is unidentifiable. To identify the load capacity allocated to existing and future non-point sources are assigned load allocations. Point source pollution occurs when pollutants are discharged into conveyances, such as pipes, drains, and ditches, and the source of the pollutant is identifiable. Point sources, such as factories, sewage treatment plants, and concentrated animal feeding operations, are subject to regulation under the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, NPDES, program. To identify the load and capacity allocated to existing and future point sources are assigned waste load allocations. For non-point sources, the load allocation staff chose criteria based on the narrative criteria mentioned previously. Chloride is set to 230 milligrams per liter, which is recommended for beneficial use of warm aquatic habitat applicable to the Alamo River. Enterococcus and E. coli allocations are set according to the objectives in the basin plan. Enterococcus is the bacteria indicator for REC 1 and is set to 110 colony-forming units per 100 milliliters as a statistical threshold value. E. coli is set to the REC 2 objective of 2,000 most probable number per 100 milliliters as a maximum allowable. Objectives for bacteria indicators are chosen based on salinity, The Alamo River is above the cutoff for use of E. coli as the REC 1 indicator. These objectives were chosen due to the more infrequent monitoring of ambient water and the inability to calculate a rolling average. Next slide, please. For point sources, the waste load allocation staff chose numeric criteria based on the narrative criteria and amber water, and ambient water conditions to be tested. Chloride is set to 230 milligrams per liter, which is recommended for beneficial use of warm aquatic habitat. Enterococcus and E. coli allocations here are different from the load allocations. This is because there's a greater frequency of sampling that takes place at NPDES facilities, and more stringent bacteria objectives can be used. The six-week rolling geometric means are attainable at these locations, and therefore those objectives were chosen. E. coli is 100 colony-forming units per 100 milliliters, and Enterococcus is 30 colony-forming units per 100 milliliters. Interested parties were notified at the beginning of the project to facilitate involvement and include initial input for the development of the TMDLs. Letters were sent out to the California Native American tribes with historical or ancestral ties in the project area to inform them of the potential project and offer an opportunity for tribal consultation. The regional board did not receive any requests for consultation. On August 10th, 2021, a CEQA scoping meeting was held to introduce the project to interested parties and receive feedback on potential issues that might arise, including impacts, mitigation measures, alternatives or compliance. Only a few comments were received and feedback was included. We also held a workshop June 3rd board meeting during the public comment period for the TMDLs, which was from May 16th to July 18th. The second workshop was in response to a request by the Imperial Valley Irrigated Lands Coalition, or IVILC, to explain changes made to the TMDLs, and that was held November 4th, 2025. Next slide, please. Regional Water Board staff are also required to submit the scientific basis and scientific portion of all proposed policies, plans, and regulations for external scientific review. Staff asked reviewers to comment on whether the scientific portions of the TMDL staff report and implementation plan are based on sound scientific knowledge, methods, and practices. Specifically, the reviewers were asked to comment on five areas: whether the selection of numeric targets addressing impairments were accurate, whether the data analysis included in the report is effectively drawn from the sampling completed, whether the proposed source analysis is accurate from the data available, whether the proposed loading capacity and allocations are accurate and effective, and whether proposed implementation is effective. Through the University of California, Berkeley facilitated peer review selection process, three individuals with collective technical expertise in hydrology, agricultural pollutants, pollutant load assessment, toxicity, and irrigated agriculture were selected to review this document for scientific adequacy. The external scientific reviewers determined the scientific portion of the TMDL staff report and implementation plan was based on scientific knowledge, methods, and practices. The scientific peer review process was completed in March 2025. Next slide, please. Moving on to implementation. This TMDL will be implemented through our Regional Water Board's Imperial Valley Agricultural General Order and NPDES permits. The General Order is implemented through our region's Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program, which has established the general waste discharge requirements for agricultural discharges. This General Order also includes the requirement of a farm plan, which outlines the management practices on irrigated agricultural lands to minimize or prevent discharge of waste to waters of the state. The General Order for Imperial Valley was adopted by the Colorado River Basin Board on December 14, 2021, which replaced the conditional waiver, which had been in use since 2015. The Imperial Valley General Order already includes many of the requirements included in this TMDL. Furthermore, the water quality restoration plans included in the Imperial Valley General Order are triggered by exceedances and require Water Board's approved improvement plan. For point sources, NPDES permitted municipalities and facilities will be regulated through permits for their discharges to the Alamo River. NPDES permitted municipalities and facilities were identified as potential sources. Through the implementation of these TMDLs, the facilities will utilize the requirement put in place through either individual or general NPDES permits or waste discharge requirements, and therefore monitor and comply the effluent limits developed from the waste load and load allocations for impairments. The comment period ran from March 16th to July 18th, 2025, ended following the previous workshop, initial workshop. We received one comment letter from the Imperial Valley Irrigated Lands Coalition during the comment period. These comments will be addressed in the following slides individually. There was a second comment letter from IVILC sent prior to the second workshop on October 30th, 2025, but the comments were restatements that had been submitted in the July comments. While the comments were reviewed, the second workshop response along with the response to comment in the TMDL were not repeated. The comment for chloride TMDL encourages the Regional Water Board to conduct a use attainability analysis as the approach for this chloride TMDL. A use attainability analysis is used to remove designations of a water body. The analysis is done in a separate multi-year process, which is not in the purview of this TMDL. In any case, the Alamo River does not have any beneficial uses that are not existing or potential, making a UAA unnecessary. The comment for bacteria TMDL focuses on part of a recommendation from one of the three peer reviewers. Dr. Liddy, out of Southern Illinois University, who sees potential in utilizing microbial source tracking to identify the origin of bacteria. The comment asks that this be completed prior to finalizing the TMDL. However, this TMDL is designed to find sources of bacteria as the first step in implementation. The initial monitoring will be done to find those bacterial sources, and if the resources are available, that monitoring may include microbial source tracking. If IVILC is interested in completing microbial source tracking immediately, they can. However, Regional Board staff has reached out to San Diego State University Lab in Imperial Valley, which hopes with the hopes that they can work towards completing this tracking, possibly with grant eligible. NPDES facilities are self-monitoring, so it is possible we find other sources in the Alamo River through these requirements, though continued monitoring outside of those facilities is needed. This slide shows the major milestones in the TMDL process. We're at the regional board hearing step. After addressing comments received, the final staff report and the amendment language was released prior to this meeting for the Regional Water Board to consider adopting the TMDL. Once the Regional Water Board has adopted the TMDLs, they must be approved by the State Water Board, the Office of Administrative Law, and the US EPA. Staff recommends the board adopt the resolution approving the amendment to the basin plan. With this, I'd like to thank you for your time and attention. If you have any questions, my contact information is available on the screen, and this concludes my presentation.
Good morning. Do we know what the chloride level is when it crosses the border?
So the 230 milligrams does seem like a specific number. That comes from the 303D list. So this TMDL would be to get the readings with that as a starting point and then build to what we believe it would be.
If I can interject, it sounds like you're asking, you know, for the New River specifically, because the Alamo River doesn't come from Mexico, more or less. You're asking what is the average chloride concentration when it crosses the border.
Right.
And that would be in the staff report.
Yes.
So let's take a moment and find that data for you.
Morning, everybody. Emma McCorkle, head of TMDL program, basin planning, all the fun stuff. it's too many to list. I'm sorry. What you're asking, David, is correct. The Alamo River does not have flow at the international boundary. So the chloride concentration at that stage is zero because there's nothing. I think the official flow rate is like one CFS just because it does get some seepage from the All-American Canal at that stage. But the majority of the flow in the Alamo is later after it passes through some of the agricultural land.
And what about the New River? Do we know what that is?
That I don't know. If we had internet, I could look it up really quickly.
Oh, that's okay.
But I can send it to you later.
And then it says this is a 2006 U.S. EPA. Has it not been reviewed since then, or is it just still a good number based upon?
Are you talking about the listing, the placement on the 303D list?
Well, it says source, U.S. EPA 2006.
Oh, the freshwater aquatic criteria. Yes. To our knowledge, no, it has not changed.
No, we checked with EPA to see if there was something better. But we do recognize that we do need a different limit for our waters because of just our natural conditions. So as part of my basin planning stuff, we're doing the triennial review this year, and we will have a project in the future for a site-specific objective for chloride because we have a similar issue in Palo Verde.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good presentation.
You had mentioned that you've identified or you've reached out to San Diego State University to do some of the microbial source allocation, whatever it was called.
Source tracking.
Thank you. Is that something that the water board staff would undertake, or are you finding it and directing Imperial Valley, whatever that organization is, to conduct the monitoring themselves and to work with, to be the grant requester and working with San Diego State University?
We have reached out to San Diego State University as to encourage them to sign up for a program that would make sense that could get them funding. So it's not necessarily run through us. It would be San Diego State that would be conducting it. It's just likely that we would find a use out of that microbial source track.
And this TMDL does not specifically order any parties to do anything at this point. It would require implementation or incorporation into, for example, the MPDS, respective MPDS permits, but more firmly in mind the Irrigated Lands General Order for the Imperial Valley. So at that point, that's when that would come into play. But it sounds like it may be an option for them to take certain steps before it even gets to that point.
You know, I understand. It sounded like multiple parties were interested in doing it, and I was glad to hear that you guys have identified a potential survey or field study or whatever to do it. And then I was curious who would be taking on ownership of that project were somebody to want to do it.
It would be the professor of that lab.
Got it.
That
understood.
Would be the point person.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional board member comments? No? Okay. Let's go back to, we can now hear from the comment from the public.
We do not have any.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. We are now closing the hearing agenda on the agenda under item 9. May I please have a motion on this item and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Clerk, may we have roll call?
Chair Perez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Beltran?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The board will now move to information items on today's agenda, items 10 through 12. Item 10, Executive Officer Report. Michael Pacenta.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Perez, members of the board, members of the public. I am Michael Placencia, Executive Officer. I have a few items I'd like to highlight from your binders. Unfortunately, sampling of the New River at the international border could not be conducted in March due to insufficient funding. However, staff were able to conduct sampling of the species conservation habitats, also referred to as the SCH, located at the south end of the Salton Sea. This data will be used to inform planning projects such as beneficial use designation of these habitats. And staff attended the second Cutting Green Tape Summit held in Santa Rosa, California. The summit focused on progress for interagency and intra-agency coordination to advance regulatory efficiencies in permitting restoration projects, providing technical exchange on cutting green tape permitting tools and streamlining restoration permits. Finally, in March, I issued a satisfaction of settlement agreement to Imperial Irrigation District, notifying the discharger that all obligations under their stipulated order were met. The stipulated order, adopted by the board in 2021, imposed a $549,000 administrative civil liability to resolve violations of the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permits, but suspended that amount pending a completion of a Supplemental Environmental Project, or SEP. This SEP involved a pilot project for the installation and maintenance of point-of-entry systems for low-income qualified residential homes. The cost to complete the project was $549,679, and the discharger paid an additional $535,321 to the state's cleanup and abatement account to satisfy the requirements of the stipulated order. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we now move to agenda item 11, board member comments and suggestions for future agenda items. Do any board members have anything they wish to discuss?
I have a question for our legal counsel. You know, I know we take the oath, and I was wondering, what are the repercussions for not telling the truth, whether you take the oath or don't take the oath? Is there any difference?
When you take the oath, when you are sworn in as a board member?
Yes.
I'll look into that for you. Affirming something under oath, there is a potential perjury issue. But I'll look into that further for you.
Any additional discussions? Okay. Next item is the chair's report. I do not have anything to report other than the WQCC that we're looking forward to attending. And for those that cannot attend, please join us in the Zoom meeting. And number 13, council, are there any matters for discussion in closed session?
Unfortunately, there was going to be something today, but it will need to be postponed. So, unfortunately, I forgot to pay the internet bill here this month. So, we won't be able to do a closed session with the Assistant Chief Counsel today. Okay. So, we'll have to move it to, I think, June.
Yeah. All righty. Well, okay.
Yeah, sorry, guys. That's on me.
Thank you. The next meeting scheduled is for June 9th at 10 a.m. And we'll be here at the city of Palm Desert, Riverside County. And we are adjourned. Thank you very much.